It is 7:30, time once again for Community Forum, and we are very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning, Aaron Dixon. Aaron Dixon is the Green Party candidate for the U.S. Senate, a seat currently held by Maria Cantwell. Aaron Dixon was a co-founder of the Seattle chapter of the Black Panther Party, through which he started the Free Breakfast for School Children program that fed thousands of hungry African American children. In 2002, he founded his own nonprofit organization, Central House, which provides transitional housing for homeless young adults. Aaron, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Let me begin with asking you, what was your motivation in choosing to run for the U.S. Senate?
Well, I was actually, I hadn't even thought about running for political office whatsoever. However, I was approached by the Green Party probably about 2 months ago. And I think their timing was really good because the polls were showing that there was a lot of discontent for the political process and the current politicians that we have conducting business in the Capitol. Also, I had been traveling to South America and observing the political events taking place in terms of democratically elected progressive leaders such as Lula in Brazil and leftist president in Uruguay and as well as in Bolivia and Chavez in Venezuela. And it really occurred to me that that we had to start looking at, we as activists and progressive people had to start looking at the political arena in this country and begin doing grassroots organizing and finding progressive candidates and getting those candidates elected to political office. So the timing was right, and I felt that before they had asked me, I felt that that was really the new battleground for progressives in this country, that we really needed to start doing some serious organizing and grassroots organizing. And I knew that it could be done because in 1972, as a member of the Black Panther Party, I had an opportunity to work on the political campaign for Bobby Seale for mayor and Elaine Brown for city council. And we were able to pull together some of the best organizers in the Black Panther Party, the writers and photographers from all over the country, and concentrate our efforts on Oakland. And we really created a real strong political machine in terms of registering people to vote and actually getting out to vote. We really did not think that we could win that mayoral seat, but we came extremely close. And what it not only showed to us, but it showed to a lot of other politicians in the Bay Area that we had a political machine. And so those politicians began to approach the Black Panther Party and ask us for their, for our support and for use of our political machine. We were very instrumental in Jerry Brown being elected as governor of the state of California. And in 1976, we approached Lionel Wilson, who was a retired Superior Court judge. We asked him if he was interested in becoming mayor of Oakland. And at that time, Oakland was 65% African American, and they had never had a black mayor. And so we proceeded to run his campaign, and we, the Black Panther Party, put the first black mayor into office into Oakland. So through that experience, I know that it can be done. And so I welcome... after thinking about it and talking to a lot of friends, I decided to take the Green Party up under invitation and run for Maria Cantwell's seat. The other issue was the fact of what was happening with the war and Maria Cantwell's stance and position on the war, as well as the Patriot Act, as well as the free trade agreements. When Maria first entered into the political arena, I supported her, but I was astonished, as many other people were, of her voting record over the last 4 years, and felt that she needed to be challenged, that it was time that the people had a real voice, had a voice that was going to listen to their wants and desires. And so that's the other reason why I decided to that the time was right to enter into the political arena.
All right. So what do you see about the Iraq war that you would be doing differently than Maria Cantwell?
Well, the first thing and the most important thing is that I think we have to realize that we have to end the occupation of Iraq. We have to begin to bring our troops home, and we have to do it in a strategic manner. I'm not naive enough to believe that all of a sudden, one day a piece of paper will be signed and all of the troops will just automatically begin pulling out of Iraq. I think there's a lot more that we owe to the Iraqi people, because we've basically destroyed their country. We've destroyed their culture. We've destroyed their way of life. We've participated and murdered over 100,000 Iraqi civilians. And I think the first thing that we have to begin to do is to lay the groundwork for reconciliation. Reconciliation between all the political groups, political factions, and the religious factions. We have to find someone. Perhaps the U.S. can't play that role, but we have to find someone that can play that role in terms of bringing those people together in true reconciliation. Then the second part is, I think that the American people, the American government, owe a strong apology to the Iraqi people, and that we have to admit to them that we made a mistake in bombing their country and destroying their country, because after all, the reason why we said that we went into Iraq was for weapons of mass destruction, and those weapons of mass destruction have never been found, never been found. And many, many millions of people have suffered as a result of that. And so we owe them an apology, and I think that's part of the reconciliation that we have to do with them, is to apologize and then begin withdrawing our troops slowly and strategically, withdrawing our troops and eventually bringing those troops home to the U.S.
All right, and let's expand on that a little bit. Talk about what would be your policies towards the U.S. and the Middle East.
Well, I think, you know, watching the U.S.'s policy towards the Middle East has been extremely painful for me and painful for a lot of people throughout the whole world, particularly the Palestinian people, because our position in the Middle East has been very one-sided and very unfair to the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people are under occupation. They are living under occupation every single day, every single minute, every single second. And all those horrible things that come with occupation, they have to suffer through those things. But we've constantly taken the side of Israel on every single incident that has happened over there. We've always sided with Israel. And we have refused to recognize the suffering that the Palestinian people are going through. So I think that we have to have a more balanced approach into dealing with the Palestinian question in the Middle East, and work harder on supporting the Palestinians and supporting their issues, and helping to end that occupation, putting more pressure on Israel. Israel gets more money from the U.S. than anybody else in the world outside of Egypt. So, you know, we can use that as leverage to get the Israeli people to end that occupation and to be more humane towards the Palestinian people. You know, over hundreds and hundreds of Palestinian kids have been killed by Israel. More Palestinian children have been killed by Israel than Israelis have been killed by suicide bombers. So, and just most recently, we've shown how hypocritical that we are. We have been talking about bringing democracy to the Middle East, and when Hamas enters into the democratic process and peacefully wins the majority of the seats in the Palestinian parliament, we refuse to recognize them. That's just total hypocrisy, and it shows how stupid the American policy is. We have to recognize Hamas. We have to give Hamas an opportunity to prove themselves, that they have lifted themselves, that they have elevated themselves to a new position and a new responsibility. And I'm confident that they will carry themselves out in an honorable way, but we have to give them an opportunity to do that.
All right, let's expand that another notch further. What changes would you like to see in U.S. foreign policy in general?
Well, I think first of all is we have to get rid of the CIA. I think we need to. The CIA has created havoc throughout the whole world. They have been the enforcers of U.S. policy, particularly in a very clandestine and a very secret way. And so I think one of the first things that we have to move towards get rid of the CIA. The CIA has been engaged in some very horrible actions throughout the world. And I can definitely say that the reaction from our foreign policy and from the efforts of the CIA can be directly related to what happened with 9/11, and can be directly related to any animosity or any type of attacks that other foreign countries or foreign elements are engaged in with the U.S. It's our foreign policy. You know, it's cause and effect. People don't just hate us just for no reason. You know, there is a reason. They don't just hate freedom, as George Bush says. These people hate our policies, and they hate our imperialistic practices that we have been continuing over the last 100 years. And until we change our foreign policy, we will always have people that want to destroy this country and destroy this Western culture that we have, this very individualistic culture that we have.
What is your take on the current war on terror?
Ooh, that's a big one. We can talk a long time on that, on the war on terror. And I think I would have to agree with Harry Belafonte that George Bush is the biggest terrorist in the world, and America is the biggest state-sponsored terrorist organization in the world, because we have implemented terrorism throughout the whole world. And so now we've come up with this. It's been around for a while because the Nazis were classified as terrorists. But now we're calling anybody who is against this government, who is against the policies of this government, terrorists. We even have activists who are environmental activists who are fighting to bring to attention of the American people about environmental damage. And many of these people are being classified as environmental terrorists. Through the Patriot Act, we've enacted policies that are calling gang members in this country terrorists. So anything that's against this government, against George Bush's policy, is now classified as a terrorist. Any of us who are progressive and on the left can expect that at some point that we may be classified as a terrorist. So this whole war against so-called terrorism is really a joke, and it's really a sham. And the actual war that's being conducted in Afghanistan and Iraq and many other places is helping to keep the military-industrial complex going. And, you know, let's face it, war is money. War is money. And then you look at the secret prison sites, and you look at Guantanamo Bay and the prisons that have been built in Afghanistan, the prisons that have been built in Iraq, and all the information about torture that's coming out, torture that the CIA has been doing for the last 40 years. But now all this is really being exposed, and we've become the number one sponsors of torture throughout the whole world. So, you know, this war on terror is really showing the people of the world how sadistic the American government is.
We are talking with Aaron Dickson. He is the Green Party candidate for the U.S. Senate, seat currently held by Maria Cantwell. You mentioned fair trade, or free trade, actually, which Maria Cantwell is a supporter of. Can you talk about what you see as the solutions there?
Well, I think that our policies of free trade is greatly tilted towards the big business and corporations. And you just look at the history and the relationship that we have had with third world countries who've had very valuable resources. You know, we have gone to those countries over the last 100 years and usurped their natural resources out of their country and destroyed their environment so that those resources can be used for our benefit. And this free trade agreement is just another level of that. It's more of a legalizing of that type of exploitation that we want to conduct, because we are not in these free trade agreements. We are not being fair, because we are not allowing those third world countries to have their products sold on the U.S. market, while we want their markets to be opened up to U.S. products. We're also closing a lot of, as part of the free trade agreement, we're opening up factories and manufacturing plants in a lot of these poor third world countries. We're taking jobs away from Americans and taking them to these third world countries and paying them very low, very poor wages. So the American people are being hurt by these free trade agreements, and the citizens and the environment in these third world countries are being affected. So I think we just need to change the way that we do business and the way that we've been doing business over the last 200 years. And yeah, if you take just look at the history of this country and what it's based upon, the history and of this country and what it is based upon is blood and exploitation. We came here, we took the land from the Native Americans. They had been here for thousands of years. All of a sudden we show up and we discover this land that thousands of millions of people had already lived on, and we take their land away from them. We bring millions and millions of African slaves from Africa to this country, millions who died on the way, millions who died during the whole process of slavery, and we build this country. And so it's a history of blood. It's a history of exploitation. And we have to change that way of thinking. How that is going to happen, that's another question. But our whole foreign policy has to be totally turned upside down, and it has to be a policy that we take the position that we sincerely want to help, that we sincerely recognize the other peoples, the other countries of the world as one community, that we are all part of the human race, that we can, that there is enough land, there is enough water, there is enough food, there is enough oil for all of us, for all every single person on this earth to be able to benefit. We have to change that attitude into that type of a thinking. Of course, I think we're very far away from that, but that's what I would do if I had an opportunity.
Voting, when you were in the Black Panther Party, getting people registered to vote and out to vote became a key issue. Do you see voting currently as something that you would like to see some reforms with?
Yeah, definitely. I think the whole political process needs to be changed, particularly in the representation of politicians. In Brazil and I think in Sweden, they have what is called participatory government. And what that basically means is that they have the people in various cities and various communities that come together and help to put together the policies for that city. They help to develop the budget and have input on how money is spent, so that you just don't have one person who was sitting thousands and thousands of miles away in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol, with hundreds of other colleagues of his who think very much like he does, and making policies and making laws and spending the people's money without any real input from the people. You know, we're a star-studded society. You know, everything is based upon stars. You know, you have the superstar athletes, you have the superstar entertainers and the superstar actors, and you have the superstar politicians. You know, politicians are superstars, and that's what they become once they come into political office. They're superstars, and they're wearing the nice suits and the nice shoes and eating at nice restaurants and are really very much disconnected from the people, and they're making decisions for the people. I think that needs to change. We need to break that down so that we do not have these stars who are supposedly out there representing us, that we break it down, that we are having people make the decisions on the ground level, that we're having people make the decisions on how money is to be spent, that we have the people actually begin to run in this country. We don't need a superstar running this country. We need the people to have the ability to run this country.
What is your response to the media's portrayal of you as a spoiler, that you're on a third-party ticket and that you're going to be taking away votes from Maria Cantwell and potentially just giving the seat to the Republican candidate?
Well, that's just their way of trying to marginalize my candidacy, because I am not the spoiler. I'm not playing the role of the spoiler. If Maria Cantwell was against the war, then I would not be a spoiler. But the fact that there are millions of people throughout this country who are dissatisfied with the war, Republican and Democrats, who are dissatisfied with the war, and they need a choice. They need someone to vote for who is against the war. Right before I entered the race, it was just Maria Cantwell and the Republican challenger, McGovern. They both are for the war. And so the people who are against the war, who do they have to vote for? Now they have a choice. Now they have someone to vote for. Now they have someone who feels the way that they do, that this war must be ended. So I think that takes away that whole notion that I am running as a spoiler.
We have a email in from a listener asking, the Republican put forward a resolution in the House for immediate withdrawal from Iraq to try and catch out the Democrats. Cynthia McKinney and a couple other Democrats voted for the resolution. McDermott voted here. Would Aaron have voted for that resolution?
The immediate withdrawal of the troops? Yes, I would have. Yes, absolutely.
All right. So talk, if you would, only a couple minutes left. Let's talk about energy, since that's a big issue here that's obviously facing the U.S. What would be your solutions there?
My solution to energy would to look for alternative sources, and there are a lot of alternative sources of energy. There's using air. There's using different types of fuel for engines for cars. In Brazil, three-fourths of their fuel comes from sustainable energy sources. And they have one of the lowest in the world. They have one of the lowest rates of emission in the world. So, and they're a extremely large country. They're the largest country in South America. And I was in Brazil several years ago, and one of the things that I noticed is that there were no big super cars. People were not driving these big Humvees. They weren't driving these big four-wheel drives. Everybody was driving small cars that do not use a lot of fuel. So I think we're here in America, we're addicted to big things, and we want to drive big cars and big vehicles. We want to have big houses. I think that we have to get down to reality and realize we don't need all these big things, you know. They cost too much in terms of the fuel, and too much in terms of our dependability on these things. So those are some of the things that I would look to do.
And in terms of the media, obviously the corporate media controls most of the airwaves that we get our ideas from. Would you see any proposed changes there?
Yeah, that's one thing that is really, really sickening, to see that the TV and things that we watch on TV is controlled by corporations. They should not be controlled by corporations. The air media, the news media, any type of media should not be controlled by corporations. They should be controlled by the people. They should be controlled by entities that have no stake in profit. Because everything gets distorted, everything gets changed around. We don't get the truth. Everything gets filtered. Everything turns into a brainwashing mechanism to get us to buy the next thing, or get us to go along with policies that our country is putting forth that are not beneficial to humanity. So I think that's one of our biggest battles and our biggest struggles that we as progressive people have in this country, is reclaiming the media and getting the media back into the hands of the people and out of the hands of these corporations.
All right, just a little over a minute left. How can people find out more about your campaign?
Well, they can go to our website, aarondixon.org.
All right, and that's aarondixon.org?
Yes, correct.
All right. All right. Final thoughts that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I just want to let everybody know that on April 8th, we're going to have a big kickoff event for the Aaron Dixon for Senate campaign. It will be at the Garfield Community Center at 5 p.m., Elaine Brown, former Black Panther Party chairperson, will be the keynote speaker. She just recently ran on the Green Party ticket in Bridgeport, Georgia, for mayor. So we want everybody to come out to this event, because it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
We have just been talking with Aaron Dixon. He is the Green Party candidate for the U.S. Senate, and you can find out more about his campaign at his website, aarondixon.org.